Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Please follow along as we listen for our second scripture reading today from Matthew chapter 22. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Can you believe that September is here already?
I cannot believe that summer is over.
I can't believe school has started.
I can't believe that we finally completed and made it through the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, we just spent the whole summer learning about the Ten Commandments. We started way back on June 14th, and we finally covered the 10th one just last Sunday. Thinking back over the past few months, I can't believe how much I've learned. If someone had asked me back in June if I could name all 10, I'm not sure I could have done it. But I think I can now.
It didn't feel like the same commandments to me that I learned as a kid, maybe because I'm an adult now, but also because I took time to read them again and see how important they are to the rest of the Bible. All of a sudden, they took on this whole new life for me. They're just much more important to me now than just sort of making sure I see them on a courtroom wall or something like that. Somehow now they really help me connect to my neighbor and to God and to how we live as a church and community.
Speaking of neighbors, our study of the Ten Commandments has introduced us to a new neighbor, Detective Stone Tablet. Hey, Stone. Good to see you today.
Ma'am, sir, Yoda. Good to see you.
What did you learn this summer?
Well, I learned a whole lot, and I'm really glad that you taught me about these things, because I was pleased to be invited into investigating the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. And now I'm going to speak to the congregation. Yes, last week, as Chip was even saying just now, last week Chip said something that I said, you know, I always had this problem. I don't remember the Ten Commandments like this, and that's because when I started out, Detective Stone Tablet was a Catholic, and we had a slightly different set of Ten Commandments. I know that's hard to believe. It's like the Ten Commandments of the Word of God. And I was always confused because I said, well, I think I remember these slightly differently. And it turns out, yeah, the one that we have about no idols, no craven images, that's not so much one of the Ten Commandments that the Catholics use. And if you've ever been in a cathedral, you know why. We certainly thank them that they soft-pedaled that because of all the world art that we got out of it. But, you know, but what are they going to do? You can't leave it at 9 commandments. That wouldn't make any sense. So they had to come up with a 10th one. Well, they subdivided last week's. So you don't covet all this other stuff, plus you don't covet your neighbor's wife is a separate one, which I always thought was kind of strange because I said, isn't that covered under number 7? You know, but that's the way that is. Okay, so the other main thing that I really learned from it, being a man of law and having to go out and figure that out, is God made these commandments so simple, it's like God really wanted us to do them. As an example, I just went to a random piece of code. I wrote it here in my book. And now, we did pick up on the idea, you know, verses and chapters and all that. Our laws also do that. Instead of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, I just randomly grabbed one out of Westchester. And listen to this and see which you like better. Okay? Section 307.61, severability. In any part of this article or the application thereof of any person or circumstances be adjudged invalid by any court of competent jurisdiction, such judgment shall be confined in its operation to the part, provision, or application directly involved in the controversy in which such judgment shall have been rendered and shall not affect or impair the validity of the remainder of this article. Whew. Do not murder. Which is easier? That's all I'm saying. So, I think God really wanted us to learn these things and to know these things. And they are. They're very easy. Let's see if we can do this. Here, this is Dr. Detective, not Doctor. Detective Stone Tablet. There is only one God. Only have that one God before you. And, against our Catholic friends, no craven images, no other idols. If you're going to use the name of God, use it reverently and with respect. Keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. After all, they're the ones that God chose to bring you into the world. Now we're getting to my jurisdiction. No killing, no adultery, no stealing, no lying, and no coveting, whatever it is, at all. And again, as we've already heard today, that comes down to... What? Sorry, people are applauding me. That comes down to, as we've heard several times, love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and all your mind, and love one another as you love yourself. And if we did all that, everything would be a great world. We'd have quite the community. And so now I'm going to leave with the words another person used to say on, another detective used to say on that television machine, stay safe out there.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. I'm glad we got to know him.
I'm really glad he came and is among us,
Whoever said that learning about the Bible isn't fun didn't know what they were talking about, clearly. And, you know, whatever works to help you learn the Ten Commandments, whether it's hand motions or puppets or maybe even music, writing a song to figure them out, I say go for it. Whatever helps you remember them. But even more important than being able to recite the Ten Commandments is actually living them. And I think that's what challenged all of us the most this summer. A recent study has shown that young people today don't really have a problem with God or organized religion. They have a problem with the people who say they follow that God or go to that church because those people don't seem to be following the rules of God or of that church. And so I think we all learned how tricky and how much bigger these commandments are than any of us initially thought. It's really easy to boil them down into some simple little rules like no killing, no stealing, no lying. And they get kind of separate in our mind. But I think one of the things I realized this summer was that the Ten Commandments are all connected to each other. You can't have one without the rest of them.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes what we know of the Ten Commandments really are what some people might call the second tablet. We actually treat that second tablet about no adultery and no killing and no stealing as if those are somehow these universal things that we can teach to anybody. And at one level, that's true. But there are 10 words. There are 10 commandments. And oftentimes, when I interact with parents, some of them will say, I want to bring my children to church so that I can teach them some morals. And maybe that's like saying, I want to teach them the second tablet. But there are 10 words. There are 10 commandments. And for us to take those 10 seriously invites us not simply to be kind of sort of Christians or almost Christians, but to listen to all 10 of them. We follow a God who doesn't start with don't kill. We follow a God who says, I'm going to liberate you from slavery. And because of that, I don't want you to have any other God before me. And when we think about that kind of God, that's the God we want to help our children, help our people get to know. Because when we understand what that God did for us, then the second tablet makes all the sense in the world. Then both of those tablets become interconnected. And we're not just teaching morals. We're teaching about a God who liberates us, who even will send his own son to the grave and lead an exodus out of sin and death. That's the kind of God that we want to teach when we connect the two tablets together, so that we're not just using God's name reverently, but we're also treating one another well in the way we don't covet each other's stuff. That way we're connecting all this together, and we're helping people to do more than learn morals. We're helping them to do what Jesus really taught us, which is to love God and to love our neighbor, and that both of those things matter.
In our second scripture lesson today, some of the Pharisees wanted to try and trip up Jesus, and so they sent one of their friends to ask him, "Jesus, which one of the commandments is the most important one?" And the Pharisees were really trying to trick Jesus into separating out the commandments and picking one over all the others. And what Jesus does is he gives them a different way, a different interpretation of how they are to understand God's commandments. He starts by saying, "The greatest one is this." And he repeats the Shema, the words we heard from Deuteronomy, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." But he doesn't end there. He also says the second most important commandment is just like the first one, meaning it's equal to, and you can't have one without the other. And that second commandment is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Because loving our neighbor is how we act out in concrete ways our love for God. And so that's how the two tablets, the first tablet, which is a lot about our relationship with God, and the second commandment, a second tablet, which is a lot about our relationships with other people, that's how they go together. When we love our neighbors, we show our love for God. When we love God, we love our neighbors also.
And so what we would like to do today is invite you and us as a church to respond. Respond not to a set of 10 words that simply say, "You have to do this or else," but to a God who has liberated us from sin and death, who goes with us in life, and who looks at the plight of people who are on the margins and says, "It shouldn't be that way, and I'm going to work to liberate their lives." If we were to follow that kind of God, the Ten Commandments wouldn't be something that we have to do. It would describe who we are. And that's the response we would invite you into today, is how can you respond to the God who loves you and me enough to become one of us and lead us into new life, so that these 10 words become the description of who we are and what we do and how we live and the kind of neighborhood that we are trying to create together that looks faithful and mimics and follows a God who does the same thing with us. And so we invite you today to respond. Respond with your lives so that we as a church become a description of what these words are. And we become a way of interpreting these into our life together.
We received a response from one of you this week. Someone sent us an email, and I'd like to share with you a little bit of what that person wrote. "Dear Chip and Tammy, I have spent some time ruminating over the sermons you both gave on many of the Ten Commandments. I greatly appreciate the thought-provoking expansions you gave for each, much beyond the trite definitions I have heard from childhood on. Unfortunately for me, with the expansions, I find that I am guilty of breaking some of them without realizing it. Dag nabbit. The commandments are certainly something for me to focus on. I guess I have work to do. Thanks for the challenge. Peace be with you." What that email points out to me is that following the Ten Commandments, it's not just for lone individuals, it's for whole communities, and it's not just a one-time thing that we learn and memorize and then we don't have to think about them anymore. It's a lifelong journey of learning how to follow God by loving God and loving our neighbor.
So here's the good news. The liberating God has liberated you and me and offered us new life. So let's let the 10 words describe who we are and how we will live so that we can follow that God into this life and learn how to love God and love our neighbor and share that good news with our children, with adults, with one another, with this world that God loves.